Ve'im by Bnei Noach. So the question is, are Bnei Noach obligated to honor their parents? We know they have seven mitzvos of Bnei Noach, and the question, of course, is whether or not non-Jews have to chabed their parents either exactly like we do or in a similar vein. There are interesting sources on this topic. It's not so often discussed. Usually in general, Mrs. Bnei Noach are not really analyzed so much. They don't usually come to the rabbis with questions. But, it's certainly worth analyzing. So here, the first source on the page, the Gemara Nazir da Samach Aleph, discusses the fact that a non-Jew can't become a Nazir. A Nazir is a certain oath. A person takes an oath in the Naziros. They can't drink wine, and they can't cut their hair, etc. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah, Nazir says that a non-Jew who became a Nazir, there's no significance to that. There's no significance to an oath of Naziris by a non-Jew. Source number one, Diktani Kusim, non-Jews, Enam Naziris. How do we know that? It's not Tanu Rabbanan, Dabeel Bnei Yisrael. The Pasuk says, speak to the people of Israel. Only Jews have the concept of Naziris. The law of the Kochavim, not non-Jews. Right, there's also a different type of Tumah by non-Jews, 100%. Whenever the Torah uses the word B'nai Yisrael, so we assume B'nai Yisrael, not non-Jews. And the Gemara there continues and questions this. It also says Ish. The Torah doesn't just use the phrase B'nai Yisrael in regard to Naziris, it also uses the Lashon Ish. Ish has a more universal connotation, and therefore maybe non-Jews should be included in the parish of Nazir. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara, if you skip two lines down, the Gemara says, Shani Hacha, the third line on the page, Shani Hacha, Damar Krala, Avivu Limo, Lo Yitama. One of the halakas of a Nazir, not only he can't drink wine, he can't be cut his hair, but he also shouldn't go to the funeral of immediate relatives. La Avivu Limo, Lo Yitama. He shouldn't go, it's like the Kohen Gadol, he doesn't go to the funeral even of immediate relatives. So the Gemara says, Mi Sheish La'av, a non-Jew doesn't have a father. The Gemara says, what do you mean? It's ridiculous. Of course non-Jews have parents. And in fact, non-Jews have Dine Yerusha. A non-Jew who dies, the son is Yarshin, so the inheritance goes to the child. So the Gemara says, no, what he meant to say was by non-Jews, there's no Chiyuv of Kibud Aba'im. If you look at the last line on the source, Amar of Yochanan, Ovid Kom Yosh, Ovid Var Torah, Shinamar Ki Yerusha L'Esam Nasati Har Seir, El Misha Muzar Al Kavar Aviv. Apparently, the Chiyuv to go to a funeral is connected to Chiyuv of Kibud Aba'im. And there's no chiyuv of kibud aba'im by non-Jews. The Gemara says very explicitly, very clearly, that there's no chiyuv of kibud aba'im by non-Jews. So it seems to be open and shut. But there are other sources in Chazal that seem to indicate that non-Jews have a chiyuv of kibud aba'im. They are obligated to honor their parents. So if you look at the Medrash Rabbah, in Parshas Lech Lecha, source number two, it speaks about Avram Avinu. Lefish I have Avram Avinu Mefache, the Omer Etzei, Avram Avinu was afraid to make Aliyah, to leave and to go to Eretz Yisrael. His father was alive. To chilul Hashem, to leave his elderly parent. How can he have left his father, his elderly father? Hashem says, I'll give a special halacha for you, a special dispensation. Ani pochacham kibud av. Only you have the special aptur of kibud aba'im. Now, it's a tricky raya, both because it comes from a medrash, which is not the same as a gemara. It's from Chazal, but it might not have the same halachic weight. And additionally, it's Avraham Avinu. You usually assume Avraham Avinu is Jewish. That's not such a good assumption. The pashtus is Avraham Avinu wasn't Jewish. He was a great person. He was avos. But, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people became Jewish at the time of, Har Sinai. So if we assume that, A, we can bring a raya from Medrash, and B, Avraham Avinu wasn't Jewish, so then the Medrash tells us, Ani potracham kibud aba'im, I'm patering you, but I'm not patering other people. So it seems clear from this Medrash, and then numerous Medrashim that imply this. If you look at source number three, the Medrash by Noach, and Noach was drunk, and the Medrash describes the Yomer Oror Knan. Knan was cursed. Why was he cursed? Says the Medrash, source number three. Reb Nechemya Omer Knan Ra'a V'Higid L'Cham Aviv. Knan told his father. V'Chazza Kol Al Ikara. Never Knan was cursed. L'Higid V'Yomer Oror Knan Mi Garam Lo Kol Arira. Why was he cursed? Al Shabizes Kvar Aviv. He didn't honor his father, or he disrespected his father. Well, Yefet shekibid aviv, ma parat Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yefet was rewarded for his kibud avim. So, like I said, there are a number of midrashim that indicate the non-Jews are obligated to honor their parents. So what we have here, on one hand, Chuzak Gemara Nazir that says that there's no chiyuv of kibud avim, ein chiyuv of kibud avim by Bnei Noach. And we have in various midrashim and in Kotam all, but there are a number of midrashim that seem to indicate the non-Jews are obligated in kibud avim, chayav, the kibud avim. Of course, as I mentioned a minute ago, it's not one of the seven mitzvahs, but I know I have to figure out what the mocker is and try to do that later. How do we know that they're obligated? But the midrashim assume that non-Jews are obligated in kibud avim. Just as a side note, there's a famous Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, source number 4, describes the story with Dabba ben Nesina. Dabba ben Nesina was a non-Jew who apparently honored his father very much, and he was involved in the sale of precious stones and, you know, jewelry, and the Jews came to him and they wanted to buy a stone for the ephod of the Kohen Gadol, and they offered a tremendous amount of money. And apparently the key to the safe was under his father's pillow, and he didn't want to wake him up. And the Gemara says he did a tremendous mitzvah, and he got a tremendous scar. What scar did he get? The next year, Paraduma was born in his herd, and Paraduma was worth even more than the precious stone that he could have sold to the Kohanim who wanted it for the Kohen Gadol's ephod. So what's clear in the Gemara and Kedushin is that a non-Jew who performs Kibud Avim gets rewarded. I'll read the last line of the Gemara, source number 4. Amar of Chanina, Umamish Eno Mitzuvah V'Ose, Kach Mitzuvah V'Ose Al Achat Kama V'Chama. So the non-Jew is Eno Mitzuvah V'Ose. This fits well with the Gemara Nazir. He's not obligated to honor his parents, but he does. And if he does, he'll get rewarded. But one who's obligated gets so much more so, is rewarded Al Achat V'Kama V'Chama. Amar of Chista, Godol Mitzuvah V'Ose, Mish Eno Mitzuvah V'Ose. Or Chanina. Amar of Chanina, and Gadol Mitzvah Osa, Mish Eina Mitzvah Osa. So it's just interesting to assume, the Gemara assumes that a non-Jew isn't obligated, but if he does it, he gets tzar. How obvious is that? If I were to ask you, the non-Jew would take a lulav. Would he get tzar for that mitzvah? So the Rambam thinks yes. The Rambam Hilchos Malachim writes, the non-Jews who do any mitzvah get tzar. It's pretty amazing. The Rambam writes, they shouldn't do it. They should either convert or they should keep their seven mitzvahs. But if they do it, they get tzar. The pashas is it's limited to mitzvahs that are sichliot, mitzvahs that are, you know, more logical. It's not clear if a goy would eat matzah would get tzar mitzvah. It's Rav Moshe Feinstein is a tshuva where he assumes it can't be the case, despite the fact that Ram says it. But I think the pashas is that even the Rishonim don't say that there's no tzar, assume that a non-Jew who, I don't know, wears tzitzis doesn't fulfill a mitzvah. But like I said, the Rambam thinks, based on this Gemara, that all mitzvos, there's a concept of Eina Mitzvah of Ose, and there's Schar in any case. Either way, Lamaisa, what we have here is a debate in Chazal. Gemara in Nazir writes explicitly that there is no Chiyuv Kiyuv Eim. I should add on, but based on the Gemara Kedushin, there's a Kiyum. One who does honor the parent is rewarded. Yesh Kiyum. Even though there's no obligation. Whereas there are a number of midrashim that indicate there's an obligation for a non-Jew to honor their parents, and if they don't, they can be punished for not honoring their parents. Just briefly, I want to explore two nafkaminas to this question. The first is the question of whether or not a ger, a convert, has to honor their non-Jewish parents. Like I said before, usually non-Jews don't come to ask shailas if they should honor their parents or not. But converts do. Converts, are interested in keeping halacha, and they want to know if once they convert, they are obligated to honor their parents. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following question by a non-Jewish woman who converted, and now she is Jewish, and she didn't have much of a contact with her parents after the conversion. Apparently they didn't take it so well. But when the parents were on their deathbed, they asked their Jewish daughter to bring her children, to see their grandchildren before she dies. The non-Jewish grandmother asked her Jewish daughter to come and visit while she was very ill. So she asked Moshe Feinstein if she's allowed to go visit her mother. She was concerned that, you know, she's going to be feeding her kids non-kosher, etc. And Moshe Feinstein said, not only are you allowed to visit your non-Jewish mother, you're obligated to do so. Why are you obligated to do so? Because the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Malachim, in Hilchos Mamrim rather, source number 5, Hager Asur Lekal Aviv, the convert is not allowed to curse their father, their parents, or to hit them, shouldn't act in disrespect. The Rambam writes explicitly there's an obligation for a convert to show some degree of respect to their parents. So Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin based on this Rambam that there's an obligation to have, you know, a basic level of dignity, basic level of respect for a parent, even if the parent isn't Jewish. And therefore, it's, you know, mitbakesh, that if the parent is ill, you should go and travel and visit the parent. Even though the parent isn't Jewish, and even though the parent wasn't all that nice to the child who converted. But not all the Rishonim bring down this halacha. This halacha is not mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says that when a person converts, so they're no longer related to any of their immediate relatives. So if a brother and sister convert, they're considered kikatan shenola zami. Then legally, halachically, they can marry each other. The brother and sister can marry each other. But the Gemara says it looks weird, it looks strange, because when they were non-Jews, they couldn't marry each other. Now they become Jews, they can marry each other. So you shouldn't marry your immediate relative, even though legally you're not related to them anymore, because you're kikatan shenola, because it's just not appropriate. Shalo yomru banu mikidusha chamura l'kidusha kala. They shouldn't say that when we were non-Jews, then we couldn't marry our sister. Now that we're Jewish, we can marry our sister. It looks funny. So the Gemara says you shouldn't marry your sister even after you convert. The Rambam seems to have applied that halacha to this concept of kivud av v'aim, and the Rambam seems to say that shalo yomru banu mikidusha chamura l'kidusha kala. You shouldn't say that when we were non-Jews, we had to respect our parents. And now when we're Jewish, even though we're not technically legally related to our parents anymore, because you're kachatan shenola dami, but it looks funny because they'll say when we were non-Jews, we didn't have to respect, we have to respect our parents. Now when we're Jewish, we don't have to respect our parents. Therefore, you're supposed to respect your parents even after you convert. So that's what the Rambam writes. But as I mentioned, the other Rishonim don't bring down this halakha. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. And it could be they disagree with this. So this might be an afkamina to this question. How so? The Rambam is assuming that a non-Jew is obligated to honor their parents. Never when they convert, it looks strange that they wouldn't honor their parents. So the Rambam seems to be assuming, second, Ger is a convert obligated to honor their parents. So if you assume that as non-Jews they're obligated, then you'd say the Ger is chayiv as well. Ger gam chayiv, because the chiyuv of shelo yomru banu mikdusha chamura mikdusha kala lechora would apply in this case. Whereas according to the Gemara and Nazir, a non-Jew is potter from kivud av v'aim. He's potter from kivud av v'aim, so there's no concept of shelo yomru when I was non-Jewish I had to honor my parents. Now that I became Jewish, it looks funny if I don't. You weren't obligated. So lechora there's no chiyuv from a non-Jew to honor their parents, according to the other Rishonim, who argue, presumably argue on the Rambam. It's interesting, the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch brings down this lashon of the Rambam, but he doesn't bring it down in Siman Reish Mem, where he deals with Hilchos Kibud Av Eim. He brings it in Siman Reish Mem Aleph, where he deals with the Isser of Hakka and Klala, where there's Isser to hit or to curse a parent, and he omits the last line. He quotes the Rambam verbatim, but he omits the last four words. Elanoig bo mitzvas kavod, he omits. So it seems like from the Shulchan Aruch that he actually held there's no obligation for a ger to honor their non-Jewish parent. Again, you have to be cordial, but the question is, you know, to what extent are you obligated to travel and to inconvenience yourself in a significant way in order to visit them? It seems like the Shulchan Aruch might have disagreed, although Rav Moshe Feinstein, like I said, the halacha assumed not that way. He assumed that a ger is obligated to honor a parent and even spend money and effort in order to visit them. Yeah.
Isn't the Rambam saying the opposite, that it's only for a side shikul that you're chayv, not because of kibud?
Well, the concept of shelo yomru banu mikidusha chamura l'kidusha kala assumes that when I was a non-Jew, I was obligated, and now I'm a kadna shenolad. When a person converts, they legally become reborn. So,
but
if we hold like the Gemara Nazir, there's no Chiyuv for a Goy, so the Ger who converts has no, previous Chiyuv.
But he thought he does, maybe not from a Halakha.
Oh, so you're saying what the Prima Gadim says. The Prima Gadim says, in a Chanami, the Rambam could be understood even according to the Gemara Nazir. Because the fact is that in most communities, societies, there's a concept of Kibud Av Aim. So what he calls Nibum Seyam. According to their understanding, it's a good point, I thank you for bringing it up. It could be the Rambam holds that there's no Chiyuv Kibud Av Aim by non-Jews, but since practically non-Jews honor their parents, it would look funny if when you convert, you don't honor your parents. And therefore, you have a Chiyuv to honor your parents once you convert. But not because fundamentally you're chayav, but just because that's the societal expectation, and it would be a chilul Hashem for a Jew to convert and say, I'm not interested in having a relationship with my parents. That would be, you know, my biological parents. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Right. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Ulai, after Rama. Maybe the Rama would agree with this. That's the prima facie that Josh quoted. The second nafkamina is more of a theoretical nafkamina. We know that before we perform mitzvahs, we usually say a bracha. You take a lulav, you say a bracha. It goes in the shofar, you say a bracha. So why is it that you don't say a bracha when you perform the mitzvah of kibud av aim? Strange. It's a mitzvah. Your father asks you for a cup of tea. So you say, Asher k'nishanu v'savet tzivanu al kibud av aim, or l'chaved taharim, something like that. Why don't we say that? So there are different answers suggested in the Mepharshim. There's a general approach that the Rashba quotes b'shem Rabbeinu Yosef that there's no bracha on interpersonal relationships. You know, you give tzedakah, maybe the person isn't going to be happy. You know, you bring the tea, the father might not be interested. Even if he asked for it a minute ago, maybe now he doesn't want it anymore. It could be that there's no interpersonal relationships are complicated. You never know how it's going to be received. And then remember, there's no bracha recited on any mitzvah that involves two different people. That's one suggestion. But there are other suggestions offered by the Farshin. I have over here the Shut bin Yamin Zed, who was one of the early Achronin from Greece. The Orach HaShulchan says the same thing. I quote him both because he was earlier, this is 15th century Greece, and today is Yom HaTzmaut, so I can quote the Shut bin Yamin Zed. So, you know, okay, so the Shut bin Yamin Zev writes, Al Masha Sha'alta Lama Ein Mevarkim Al Mitzvah Ese Kibud Av Aim, that you asked why we don't say a bracha of Kibud Av Aim, the Hidur Zakein, and the Chiyuv to honor the elderly, Al Vakama Mitzvot Asei, Danan Abdinan, and many other mitzvahs that we perform. Why is that? Hatamu, the Ein Mevarkim El Al Mitzvot She'anu Mikudashin Min Umot. We only say brachos and mitzvos that are unique to us. Right? What's the nusach of bracha? Asher kiddishanu mitzvotav, that made us holy. She'ena umos osin of some cloud. Aval mitzvot, she'afil ha'umos osin, mitzvos even the non-Jews do, l'famim, occasionally, lo mevarchinan. Ki bahen ein anu mekudashin mehen. Because in those mitzvos, we're not sanctified more than the non-Jews. Ki l'famim osin otam, kamon u'kogon kibud av aim, etc. So the Shut bin Yamin Zev writes that the reason we don't say bracha on Kibud Av Aim is because also non-Jews perform the mitzvah. He doesn't say it as sharply as I would have liked. I would have been happier had he said, because they're also obligated in Kibud Av Aim. He says that they sometimes do it. But you can tweak his lashon, I guess. I'd like to tweak his lashon and argue that the reason you don't say a bracha on Kibud Av Aim is because Kibud Av Aim is a bracha, is a mitzvah that non-Jews are obligated in, again, according to the Midrashim, they're obligated in, and therefore that's the reason you don't say a bracha. You can't say a shekhi lishan of a mitzvotah. So, bracha, why is there no bracha for Jews when they say to do the mitzvah? So if you say that all non-Jews are obligated, you say, e efshar lomar ki dishan of mitzvotah. You can't say... Pardon?
You say that by
chuppah
and kedushin.
No?
We have a bracha chuppah and kedushin also on there, right?
Right. We say a bracha of but we have a different qualitative. The mitzvah of kedushin is different by Jews than it is by non-Jews. Non-Jews, they want to get married, they get married, but then it's a different type of chalos, and therefore the bracha is on the unique quality of kedushin by Jews.
Not the whole of
I think the Ram writes that in the beginning of the Chazishas. I don't know. Do others argue?
The
I think this. I mean, this. The quality of the kedusha indeed is different, but I think the smak, or maybe it's the smak, say that there's a mitzvah to take an isha, and that applies to people as well. But I think it applies also to bnei noach. That's the sheet of the smak or the smak.
I hear. So according to that, it's a kasha. I hear. It's an interesting question. I didn't think about that. Thank you. Okay.
Isn't that also bracha and interpersonal relationships?
Right, that's a kasha on the other sheet. Okay. In general, when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, there's no one answer. You know, there's a big debate in the Rishonim, it's a side note, but it's a parallel. When do you say Al, when do you say Li? Al until Adayim, when do you say Li leads Kosh over. So all the Rishonim, Pesachim, and Bavzayim have Klalim, like 10 Shitas, and none of the Shitas actually work out. Because, you know, the Hilchos Brachos is very complicated, and it seems like a lot of it is Minhag, and it's hard to really define clearly. But anyway, this is a potential nachmina. It's not really nachmina halacha, it's more nachmina for Hesber. Why is it you don't say a bracha if you assume non-Jews are chayav? If you have aim, so then maybe you can't say a shekhi dishan of a mitzvotav. If you hold their potter, so then maybe you have to have a technical reason why there's no bracha recited on kibur ave. Okay. So, because of what we saw here was really a debate in Chazal if non-Jews are obligated in kibur ave. Gemar Nazir seems to be explicit. There's no obligation, even though there is a kiyum, as the Gemara in Kedushin says, and the Midrashim seem to assume they're chayev, and they pointed to two nafkaminas. One, how you look at the obligation of a ger to honor his non-Jewish parents, and secondly, more nafkamina havana, how you look at you know, the reason why we don't say a bracha on kivud ave. But what we have to analyze is if you really assume there is a chiyuv or kivud ave'im by non-Jews, what's the machlok? And we know there's zayin mitzvos, we know. And kivud ave'im is not one of the zayin mitzvos. So if that's the case, what's the source of the midrashim that non-Jews are obligated in kivud ave'im? So this is what I want to analyze now. Maha makor, l'chiyuv, if you assume there is a chiyuv. Again, according to the Gemara Nazir, there's no question, there's no chiyuv. If you hold there is a chiyuv, what is the makor for the chiyuv? So one approach is to assume that somehow incorporated within the Zayin mitzvah. Seems a bit mechudish, but that's what some Achonim writes. If you look here, source number 7, the Malbim says is included in the Isser of cursing God. One of the Zayin mitzvahs is the Isser to curse God. It's known as Birkat Hashem, Lashon Sagi Nahar. And the Malbim says, just like you can't curse God, so too you have to honor your parents. Because after all, your parents are similar to Kadosh Baruch Hu on some level. Says the Malbim, source number 7. Afshalom nitzah shinitztavu alein b'nei Noach b'feirush. Aval halo nitztavu al birkat Hashem. They're obligated not to curse God. V'kivud aveim hukash kvodam l'kavod hamakom. V'araya micham shinitzkalel al shesifer gnus aviv v'chutz v'achiv shekiso nitzbarchu. So he quotes the Medrash in source number 3 that Cham didn't honor his father Noach and he was cursed. So you see that they're obviously obligated in this mitzvah. But how do we know they're obligated? What's the makar? Maybe it's included in the Zayin mitzvos. Which one? It's part of Birkat Hashem. So it's part of Birkat Hashem. It's a big chiddush though, because the iser of Birkat Hashem is an iser. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a positive. So how do you learn a mitzvah from an iser? It's a little bit of a chiddush. Likewise, if you look at source number, if you turn the page for a second, source number 17 is the parish on the Eliyahu Rabbah called the Tosfot Ben Yechiel. So he assumes that it's included in the iser of Gezel. Just like you can't steal, so too you have to honor your parents. Sounds like a chiddush. But his argument is that your parents buy you diapers and they pay for your day school and for your college, and if you don't honor them, then you're kind of like stealing from them. It's a pretty big chiddush, because the parents presumably aren't assuming they're going to get a payback later. It's not like, you know, investment. But, okay, if you look at source number 17, Tarech Beyer and Cain, how you tzuchim rachshav in Zayin mitzvahs, if really non-Jews are obligated, it should be part of the Zayin mitzvahs. The gam kivur aveim, v'ulai b'chal gezel, maybe, he's not sure, it's maybe b'chal gezel, kevin shehu, Achal etzel aviv, since you eat by your parents, and these parents, men, your parents pay for your clothing, your food, v'katnuso when you were a child. So kamhu l'parnes aviv, you have to, you know, support your parents, v'katnuso when you're older and they're elderly. And that's what he suggests. So maybe it's included in Gezel. Again,
it's not so obvious. It's a very good Kiddush because the simple understanding is parents don't view supporting their children as an investment. It's not like a loan of sorts. But that's what he suggests. And then if you look back on the first side of the page, so it's number 8, the Kli Chemda, he has, I think, a very interesting suggestion. He says, don't forget, one of the Zayin mitzvahs is dinim. What does dinim include? So the Rambam thinks dinim is very limited. Dinim means you have to have a court system to judge the other 6 mitzvahs. The Rambam thinks there are only 6 mitzvahs in Noah, and the 7th is to judge those 6 mitzvahs. But that's not the Pashtus. The Ramban in Chumash claims that dinim means non-Jews have to have an entire system of law. They have an obligation to have a system of law. And some understand that Ramban is saying that their system of law has to be exactly like us. They have to learn Chosh Mishnah, which is pretty amazing. The Chumash Ramban, I think, assumes that way, if we remember correctly. And even if not, either way, it seems it's very possible that Kibbutz Aim is part of their system of law. So maybe they're chayiv in Kibbutz Aim because it's part of dinim. It's part of the concept of having a court system, which assumes you have to have a court system with an entire body of law that can be enforced by that court system. So one understanding is that non-Jews are chayiv in Kibbutz Aim because it's somehow included in Zayin Mitzvahs, either in Birkas Hashem, in Gezel, or in dinim. But these suggestions are certainly mechudosh, they're not so obvious, and it's worthwhile to analyze that maybe there are other possibilities as to what the obligation, the source of obligation of goyim in honoring their parents is. So if you look at source number 9, the Gaon Chulin, if you look at the second line of source number 9, Ula Amar Elu Shloshim Mitzvos Shekiblu Aleim B'nei Noach. Ula speaks about 30 mitzvos, the non-Jews are obligated. They only fulfill 3 of them, but apparently there's some list of 30 mitzvahs. We're not sure what these 30 mitzvahs are. If you look at the next page, Rashi writes, Shloshi mitzvahs, non is parshu. We don't know what these 30 mitzvahs are, but apparently there's Masorna Chazal, the non-Jews are higher than 30 mitzvahs. Now, despite the fact that Rashi says we don't know what they are, many of the Achronim, and even earlier, the Gaonim, the Rishonim, tried to figure out what these 30 mitzvahs are. And there is a Parish and Chumash of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Chochidon, one of the Gaonim. It was the last Rav in the Yeshiva in Sura, before the Yeshiva closed. So they're talking about the end of the Gaonic period. So Shmuel Bar Chochidon has a list of 30 mitzvos, and on his list appears Kivud Aveim. So he thinks that it's part of the 30 mitzvos. It's one of the 30 mitzvos. Okay. It's hard to know. Rashi said he didn't know. But Rav Chochidon suggests, that Rav Shmuel Bar Chochidon suggests it's part of the 30 mitzvos. If you look at verse number 11, there's a very interesting line in the Hakdama of Nissim Gon to Shas. Rav Nissim Gon wrote a parish in Shas, it's printed inside the page of Brachos and Shabbos. The very, very first page of the Talmud Bavli has its Hakdama. It's pretty long, it's Hakdama of Nissim Gon. People don't usually read it, but I saw it referenced, I didn't read it either, I just saw it referenced, that in the Hakdama, towards the beginning, he writes the following. Source number 11, Ki kol mitzvah shehen tluyin v'svara, any mitzvah that is a mitzvah that is sichli, a logical mitzvah, not to steal, is already included in Zayin mitzvahs. But there are other sichli mitzvahs that are not in the Zayin mitzvahs, not part of the 7 mitzvahs, but nonetheless they're obligated in those mitzvahs. Ki kol mitzvah shehen tluyin v'svara, or sana d'liba, things that are totally in the understanding of the heart, fara kol mischayvim mehen min ha-yom asher ba elokim adam al aretz. Non-Jews are obligated in all mitzvot sichliot. Kol mitzvot sichliot are obligated in all mitzvot sichliot. This is where Nissim Gon writes the beginning of his parish in the Hakdama to Shas. And Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to assume this as well. In that same tshuva I referenced earlier, but this woman who converted, who asked if she should go visit her ill parent. So Rav Moshe says, of course she should. And even when she was non-Jewish, when she was a non-Jew, she was obligated. Certainly, once she converts, she's also likewise obligated. And he writes, source number 12, "Lachein yiral nisdaiti," says Rav Moshe, "to whom inyan iser kif fui tova, shematzino b'divrei Hakadosh shehikvi Hakadosh Baruch Hu al Adar Harishon b'chein al Yisrael." All people, Jews and Gentiles, are obligated to be nice people, not to be ingrates. V'in kein hu davar asur hashavav bein Yisrael bein bnei Noach. Even though it's not explicit in the mitzvos, there's no mitzvah of midos, there's no mitzvah to be a nice person, but it's obvious you have to be a nice person.
Jews and non-Jews alike are rewarded and punished for being good people. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, it's obvious that a non-Jew has to honor their parents, because anybody who doesn't honor their parents is an ingrate, and it's also to be an ingrate. That's what Rav Moshe says, so this is very similar to Rav Nissenbohm, it's a Misav Sichlios, so it's included in Midos. It's just, it's just Fui Tova to not honor your parents. So essentially, we have really two Mahalchim here, why a non-Jew has to honor their parents. Either it's somehow incorporated in a list, either the Zion mitzvot or this list of 30 mitzvot that we're not really sure what's included. Maybe it's included in this list. Or maybe it's just a mitzvah simply. Maybe it's just basic derech eretz, basic midos, and non-Jews have to be people, just like Jews have to be people, and anybody who doesn't honor their parents is, not acting in a refined manner. So we have two mahalchim here. As to why non-Jews are obligated in the mitzvah of kibbutz aveh.
Why doesn't anybody say from ish mobed mitzvah? Especially since the Gemara Nazir assumes that ish is universal, not like some other Gemara that assume that ish limits non-Jews.
Right. So it's an excellent point. You're saying the pasuk itself says ish, and ish usually doesn't include it.
I mean, so I'll focus whether ish is universal.
Right.
The Gemara, but Dafka the Gemara Nazir seems to assume that ish is universal.
Right. I hear you. The thing is, it's not mentioned in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara mentions Zayin mitzvos, and the Gemara comes with 30 mitzvos. So, as far as I hear what you're saying, it's just the sources. It's hard to suggest unless there's some measures we're not familiar with. I have to look into Torah Shleimah, maybe we'll record a measure. Yeah.
I was just thinking about the fact that for Kibbutz Aveh, the only one of the mitzvos that actually says the schar in the Torah, and I don't. Not going to go into a question about that, but there's really something that's so fundamental and obvious, right? I'm wondering about how obvious is it? If it's so obvious, then why is that the mitzvah of the Torah?
I'm going to get back to that. The Netziv makes that point. I'm going to get back to source 15. So, yeah.
Aren't most of the mitzvot b'nei noach sichliot?
They are.
So if they're automatically chayav in all mitzvot sichliot, why do we need six other mitzvot or seven mitzvot?
So I think Rabbi Nissenbohm would say that these are, examples. The Torah wants to give examples. Once we include these six examples, so we have to, assume that it applies to all mitzvot sivlot. So I wasn't going to give you, just like the Torah says, how to come over. It doesn't tell you how to act in every circumstance. It's general rule. So these six mitzvot are basically like archetypes. For mitzvahs that are mitzvahs, I think that's what you would say, but I agree, in terms of the sources, this one going is not so obvious. These are the sources. He just says mitzvara, but it's from one of the gonim. So when a gonim says something, I don't know if he needs a makor, he's already earlier on, could be that he has his own sources. Okay. So I want to briefly just analyze just a couple of nafkaminas to this question. And the first nafkamina is what is the hagdara of the mitzvah of kibbutz aveh by God? The hagdara. What is the hagdara? Meaning, when it comes to Jews, there's a shulchan aruch that says your parent walks into the room, you should stand up. And we don't do that today because they're mochel, etc. But there's certain like halachos. You shouldn't sit in their seat. You shouldn't, call them by their name, etc. Do if we assume non-Jews are obligated in kibbutz aveh, do all those halachos apply to them? Or is it more limited? They have to honor their parents, but they can call them by their first name. It's not like that would be a front, to such a, we don't have to be as careful in terms of the Hagdara or the mitzvah. So the Hagdara, is it similar to the Jews, or is it a new Hagdara? So the Rambam that we saw earlier, source number 5, says, Elanoig bo miksa kavod. You have to have a certain degree of kavod. And Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests in that same Shuva that I quoted earlier, that means that they have to be, civil, and they have to be nice, but they don't have to necessarily follow every single sif in Shulchan Aruch in terms of not sitting in their seat and not calling them by their first name. Whatever is, considered not kfui tova, will be sufficient. So if, let's say, in that given culture, it's accepted by children to call their parents by their first name, then that would be okay. It might not be accepted, not to visit them if they're ill, so you have to visit them, but you don't have to necessarily, go follow the Shulchan Aruch. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests in the Tshuva. And I think it might be totally on this chakira, namely, if it's a function of what's, you know, sikhli and midos, so you say, well, it's a function of what's sikhli. You know, it's maybe accepted in that society call them by the first name, maybe it's accepted it's in their seat, but it's not accepted, you know, not to visit them if they're sick, something like that. Whereas if you assume that it's part of the Zayin Mitzvah, it's part of the Lama Mitzvah, you might say that the exact same definition of what Kibbutz Avim is for a Jew applies to a non-Jew. Now, it's not necessarily the case. You know, when it comes to Gezel, for example, Jews can't steal, Goyim can't steal. But the definitions might be different. A Goy steals even a Pachas Mishvei Pruta, even a tiny amount. He's Chayav. It's not true by Jews, you know. Jews can't murder, and Goyim can't murder. But there's a difference, you know, is abortion murder? So for Jews, it's not called murder, and for Goyim, it is called murder. The Gemara has this numerous differences, but I assume if there's no mention of a difference, then it's the same. I think it's a fair assumption. If we don't know of any source that would indicate that Chiyuv is different by Goyim, so we assume it's the same. So essentially what we want to suggest is that if it's a mitzvah sichlis, so Rav Moshe writes, it's a mitzvah sichlis, therefore, you know, just, you know, it has its own definition. You shouldn't be kifui tova, but it doesn't have to follow Shulchan Aruch. But if it's Zayin Mitzvahs or Lamed Mitzvahs, maybe it has to follow Shulchan Aruch. That's the suggestion.
Or it has to be the same as what was accepted upon themselves with the 30, or the Zayin Mitzvahs of what was.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
In their
point.
World,
right.
It evolved with societal norms or not.
Right, this is touches on the point Josh made, you know, in terms of the Hussein. Right, so I'm assuming not that way, but I agree that you could argue and say that it's a function of their norms. Right, 100%. I'll just read it inside. Rav Moshe writes, source number 14. V'nichal v'fizem v'ashkazav v'ramam elanoi bo mitzvahs kavod. Why does the Rambam say you have some degree of respect? Shalachar eza shir yeshivzeh. What type of kavod? What does that mean? Some kavod. Aval hu kefi ma shelo yitchashev v'inei abriyot l'kfui tova. It has to be the amount of respect that would be not considered to be an ingrate. Shezeh lo yitzareh l'kvodo kavod gadol v'moresh yichivato Torah. You don't have to follow Shulchan Aruch. Ela v'chol mokom uzman l'fi depending on the societal norms, that's the degree that you have to honor your parents. That's what Rav Moshe suggests. But I'm suggesting maybe it's not so partial. Maybe if you follow Zayin Mitzvahs, it's more like Shulchan Aruch. But he's pointing out that that's not necessarily the case. The second afternoon I want to explore, really the second and third together, is how do you look at these mitzvahs of Kibbutz Avim by non-Jews. So maybe I'll actually start with the third nafkamina, just to give a concrete case. You have, unfortunately, many instances of intermarriage, where Jews and non-Jews get married. And sometimes you have children that are Jewish. So if a non-Jewish man marries a Jewish woman, the child is Jewish, according to most Rishonim. That's what we accept the halal. The question becomes, is that Jewish child obligated to honor their Goyish father? Not a convert. He's a Jew who was born from a Jewish mother who has a non-Jewish father. So, what do you think? Is an obligation here? I mean, in the case.
Why is it different than a ger?
Oh, so Jacob's saying it's similar to a ger. A ger is obligated to honor their parent, and likewise, this Jewish child who's born from a non-Jewish father is obligated to honor their parent. But
so at least if he was a ger, then at one point he had an actual connection to his parents.
Oh,
and lost it here. Since his mother's really his parent, he has no connection to his father.
Yonathan's saying the ger was once related to his father. When he was a goy, he was related to his father, and now he converted. So now shaliyom rabbanu mikdusha chamur mikdusha kala, yes, to honor his parents. But this Jew was born a Jew, and he never was related to his father. Right? He's not related to his father halachically at all. So Yonatan's saying, maybe he shouldn't have to honor his parents. Maybe he's worse than a ger. A ger was obligated as a goy, so now he converted and he has to honor. But in this case, he wasn't related at all to his parents. Yeah?
I would assume that the chiyuv amongst goyim points to a biological connection, not a halachic connection. So if we're going to look at a biological connection as motivation in terms of saying that there's a chiyuv, so here also there is a biological connection, even if there's not a halachic connection.
Right, you're assuming that it's a function of, you know, karta tov. But if it's a legal halachic, I think it's telling this like here, basically. If you hold the sum it's a mitzvah syphilis, it's a function of midos, so this fellow, biologically, is a son of the father. You know, he was never related to him. He was born a Jew and his father is a goy. So, and then his father, of course, he has to respect his father. But if you assume it's a function of the chiyuv, he had a chiyuv when he was a guy, and now he converted, so he never converted. He never was related to his father. So his father is not related to him, and therefore maybe he shouldn't be chayv. That's the suggestion I want to make. What's the status of a Yisrael she'aviv goy? But he was born in Yisrael. He was a born Jew who his father intermarried, or his mother intermarried, and had a child who he's not halakhically related to, or was never halakhically related to. That's the suggestion I want to make.
That's, let's say you have an adopted child.
Yes.
Right? Now, is an adopted child have a chiyuv to say kaddish for the adopted
right.
child?
So,
so you're still, you're coming back to the idea of kafur tov.
Right. So if you're in this camp, the sikhli and midos, then it's obvious that, you know, even an adopted child would be obligated to say kaddish and show respect. If it's more a function of the, you know, halachic legal relationship, so he's not really related. So I think the posting assume the halacha that there is a concept of kafur tov, but you know, if you have different understandings. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly the point. The question of adoption, 100%. And the next achmina I want to discuss is just, you know, it's a more theoretical achmina, how you define the mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah an makom or an chaver? This question can be asked when it comes to any kiyum of kibbutz. If a Jew honors his parents, is it an makom or an chaver? It's the fifth of the Ten Commandments. The first four are Adam al-Makam, the last five are Adam al-Chavero, and the Farshim point out, it's the fifth, it's somehow in between. Is it a mitzvah of Karz to the parent, or is it more a mitzvah of Adam al-Makam? That question exists when it comes to Kibbutz Avim by a Jew. But when it comes to a Goy, that's the same question. So the Mitziv, in his Haskama to the Chavetz Chaim Sefer called Avos Chesed, discusses this issue, and he writes, this is getting back to the point that he raised earlier, that there seems to be two elements in the Kibbutz Avim. It's both a mitzvah of Adam l'makom and a mitzvah of Adam l'chavero. But that's true only in regard to a Jew. But when it comes to a Goy, the Nesiv claims, it's only a mitzvah in Adam l'chavero. So if you look here in the Nesiv, I'll start from the beginning. There's a mitzvah to, even though chesed is something that you're supposed to do logically, there's also a mitzvah of chesed. You're supposed to, you know, be nice to people, give tzedakah, etc. V'chazak t'abo, in kesef t'abo ami, give free loans. Hainu k'dei l'amdeinu, Hashem milvah sh'anach m'tzuvim al gmilut chesedim achmat chovat adam. In addition to the basic level of mitzvah ben adam l'chaveira, to give tzedakah, or m'tzuvim aleha mitzad ha-Torah, there's an additional element of Adam l'makom aspect. Kumo kol kelchei ha-Torah she'ein ha-da'at enoshi notemen. Now, if you know that pasuk kamedet avicha l'man yarechun yamecha l'adama asher Hashem l'kach notem lach. It says you should honor your parents in order that you should live in the land of Israel. You should have a long life in the land of Israel. What's the connection, says the Nesiv? You have to honor your parents in the Chutz Laaretz as well. V'inu muvan mai da'i hamikra al adama. What's the connection to the land of Israel? Harafilo mitzvah shiloh ha-ken de'kalah k'tiv stam ha-rachta yamin. In the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKen, it says you should have a long life. It doesn't say anything about living in the land of Israel. Even though it's a mitzvah sichli, it's a mitzvah that's logical. It's an interesting line. He says the goyim are obligated. Sounds like the midrashim. So the Nesiv says that the obligation of Kevin A is really a double obligation. There's an obligation in terms of interpersonal relationship, and there's an obligation in terms of man to God. In terms of the interpersonal relationship, Jews and non-Jews are chayav in the same way. The added element that exists by Jews is there's a chiyuv of Adam l'makom as well. And that added element applies more so in Eretz Yisrael. Now, all the mitzvot the Raman writes are, when performed in Eretz Yisrael, are performed in a deeper level. And Kivud HaEim is no different. When a person honors their parents in Eretz Yisrael, there's a higher level of Kivud HaEim in terms of the second element, the Adam L'Makom element, in terms of Adam L'Chavero, that exists equally Jews and non-Jews alike, Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz the same. But the added element of Adam L'Makom applies only to Jews, and it applies more so in Eretz Yisrael. That's the claim. Pardon?
Yeah.
So that's what the Tzif suggests. So just briefly, he said, the question is Adam L'Chavero or Adam L'Makom? And the Tzif says that's a question you have to exist by Kibbutz of Aim in general. When it comes to Goyim, it's only Adam L'Chavero. It's only Adam L'Chavero. That's his suggestion. And then he goes on to discuss the Nafkamina I just mentioned, when a Jew, a Jewish woman, marries a non-Jewish man, and they have a child, so there is an obligation of that child to honor the non-Jewish father, even though he was never related to him. But only, says in Tziv, midin Adam L'Chavero, not midin Adam L'Makom, the Nafkamina would be if they both asked for a glass of tea at the same time. So generally, Kivud Av is called Kivud Av. But in that circumstance, says the Nesiv, you would give the glass of water first to the mother, not to the father, because the chiyuv of Kivud Av Aim, in that case, to the mother is both Adam L'Makom and Adam L'Chavero, whereas to the father is only Adam L'Chavero. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point. That there would be a Chutz La'aretz, maybe not. I don't know. I think even a Chutz La'aretz exists. It just not, doesn't exist on such a heightened level. I don't know if the Malcolm of Mitzvah supplying Chutz La'aretz, maybe we put it on the Chutz La'aretz, it's on a heightened level.
My hope will be in the Alta Sari, I'm in New Jersey.
That's an interesting question. It's a topic for another year. The Ravadi has a long tshuva about that. You have to listen to your parents if they tell you not to move to Israel. Very interesting question. Just lastly, one last nafkamina. There are numerous details when it comes to Kibbutz Av Aim that might or not might or might not apply to Bnei Noach. So, for example, just like one person is obligated to honor their parent, there's an obligation to honor a grandparent in halacha. Does that apply to non-Jews? Just like a person is obligated to honor a parent in their lifetime, there's an obligation to honor a parent after death. Does that apply to non-Jews? How do you honor a parent after death? So you choose a Kaddish, and you don't say their first name. You say, my father, Jack. You don't just say Jack. There's a certain way of, referring to a parent even after death. That's a key move, key of aim that applies to Jews. Yesh Lacha, does this apply to non-Jews? Again, there are more than two questions. I just cited two here on the sheet. One is honoring grandparents. Two is honoring after death. So if you look at the Tosfos Venichiel, I quoted it earlier, source number 17, he is in the Hana Devel Yo Rava that there's an obligation for non-Jews to honor parents but not grandparents. That's what it sounds like. So he wonders, why is that? So he writes, the second line, Hu Akal Etel Aviv and his parents Yemenu B'Katnuso, a child was supported by a parent, therefore you have to honor the parent. Masha Ein Kein Bizikeno, in contrast to a grandparent, a Jew, says the Tosefes Tosfos VeNichiel, is obligated to honor a grandparent. A goy is only obligated midin sichli, and who, at the end of the day, who changed your diaper? Your parents, not your grandparents, usually. So therefore, the obligation is limited to a parent, not to a grandparent. Whereas, I would like to suggest that if it's within Zayin Mitzvos or within Lamin Mitzvos, again, Elichai's comment notwithstanding, it could be that the obligation is exactly similar to the Jewish obligation, and even a grandparent, even a Harmisa, would be obligated. Unless you say, like Elichai said, that maybe it's a function of what's accepted in the society, and you have to go figure out, is it accepted that, non-Jews honor their grandparents, or not in that particular society. Yeah?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding this before, but I thought he was saying that it's Ulai B'chal Gezel in the sense that it's clearly one of the Sheva.
I agree. You're making an important point. I'm not saying like he said. He's just very good. I think what he's saying.
Because that's the Gezel place, in theory, if it were the grandparents who financed.
Right, right. I'm making a difference. Thank you for bringing it up. He says even though it's Zayin Mitzvos, still they're obligated. I'm saying that if it's Zayin Mitzvos, they're Pater, and if it's simply, they're obligated. That's what I, again, it might be a function of, no, what am I saying? I'm saying opposite. I'm saying that it's simply, it's a function of whether or not it's really indeed accepted in society, whereas Zayin Mitzvos in the same halachas would apply. And he's saying, even though Zayin Mitzvos, it still doesn't apply. That's what he's saying, right? Even though Zayin Mitzvos, it still doesn't apply to grandparents. And I'm saying, if it's Zayin Mitzvos,
well,
it should apply.
Well, I think from a pragmatic place, because it's not the grandparents who financed the child when they were young. But like, he's thinking, well, keep it up, and we're putting into this very interesting category.
Yeah, it's a bit chiddush. It's a bit chiddush.
Once you are going to get tit for tat, that would put in the category of gezel. It's a function,
right.
Because your parents financed you going through things, but if it was someone else who did.
Right, if the parents weren't there, or the parents helped out in the tuition. Right.
Once you put it into the category of gezel,
100%. It's a very big hit what he suggests.
Because that's why when you're in Israel, because you need your grandparents' help.
It's the same way we usually take the mitzvah kibud avayim and we extend it to have kavod for your rabbi, to have kavod for achir
hagadol. Right.
What would we say to people here? Is it extending the same way that it's extended by us?
Right, so those are other questions. I didn't have a chance to look into them. Is a non-Jew obligated to respect their older brother, if they have a rav or a teacher, in a chanami? What I would think is that if it's sikhli, so it's a function of what's accepted, so usually people have to respect their teachers, it's pretty accepted in society, in most of our societies, whereas if it's he, so maybe according to both of Bichai, it's an interesting point. I just want to conclude with a piece of Maharal, source number 18. The Maharal points out that it's interesting that non-Jews in Chazal are presented as a paradigm of Kibud Avayim. Esav was like honored his father even more than Yaakov. And, you know, Zalman ben Asina was willing to forego the fortune, you know, that he would gain from selling the precious stone. And he's like considered the paradigm. So why is that? So the Maharal argues that Jews who have 613 mitzvos are more focused on spirituality, and Goyim, you know, they have 7 mitzvos and they do them, hopefully, but they're not so focused on spirituality, and therefore, precisely because they're not so into spirituality, they honor their parents more, because their parents, after all, brought us into this world. So if this world is all there is, all that you're really focused on, so you have to have more respect for your parents. Whereas if you're interested in the next world, so you obviously have to respect your parents, but your rebbeim, who teach us how to get to Olam Haba, are on some level, as the Mishnah says in Bomansiya, are supposed to be respected even more, because they don't only bring us into this world, they bring us into the world to come. I was very privileged to have parents who brought me, and in-laws, who brought me into this world. I mean, my parents brought me into this world, but who also were doeg for my chinuch and put me on the direction to hopefully getting to Olam Haba as well. So I want to make a siyum. I want to, again, thank everybody for coming, and thank Adi for making the delicious refreshments that are outside. After the siyum, we can partake from them. I just need 2 volunteers to go downstairs to get the drinks and fruit in the fridge. Could you all just go downstairs while you see them, so we don't have to wait? Thank you very much. So I learned from Sefer Sanhedrin. I teach it on Friday mornings. So we're almost finished with it in that shiur. So I'm going to make a siyum in Sefer Sanhedrin. Sefer Sanhedrin concludes with the following statement. When a tzaddik dies, it's bad for the world, because it's the hashpa of the tzaddik, you know, is good for the world. But when a tzaddik is born, tzaddik bala olam, tova bala olam, shenemar, zeyin achameinu maseinu v'itzvon yadein. When a tzaddik is born, it's a good omen for the world, not just a good omen, but hopefully the tzaddik will influence and impact the world and make the world a better place. Hadron Allah Kol Yisrael, this Yeshem Chelek, the Sleek Allah, the Sechas and Hedron. Hadron Allah Kol Sechas and Hedron, Hadron Kolan. Da'at Allah Kol Sechas and Hedron, Da'at Kolan. L'snashi minach Kol Sechas and Hedron, L'snashi minach Mabal Badin, Mabal Da'asi. Yerzom Ufanecha, Adonai Elo Ha'i, Elohi, Vosai, Shtiyah, Torah Tzchah, Munasinu, Bolom, Ezev, Tiyah, Imanu, Lom, Ba. Chanir, Rav Papa, Rami, Rav Papa, Nachman, Rav Papa, Chai, Rav Papa, Abba Mavi, Rav Papa, Rafim, Rav Papa, Rakish, Rav Papa, Surcham, Rav Papa, Adab, Bar Papa, Darabah.